Taking a look now at Wisconsin sheep and wool. Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival is coming up soon, so we thought good time to talk about our sheep and wool industry and visit with a couple of guests. Ray Antonovich, owner of AZ Farms in Oregon, Wisconsin, where they raise sheep, chickens, and rabbits. Ray, good to have you back.
Well, thank you. Enjoy being here.
And also with us today, Carol Wagner. Carol owns and operates with her husband Hidden Valley Farm and Woolen Mill, and also raises sheep. And Carol, great to have you along as well.
Thanks. It should be fun.
I'm hoping it will be fun. Let's talk a little bit about your farm, Hidden Valley Farm. How'd you get involved in sheep?
Because I wanted to learn how to spin, and I wanted to knit a sweater from my own sheep's wool. And that was the beginning. And one sheep led to another, and here we are.
That sounds very familiar.
Very familiar. And you really control the production from one end to the other, then, more or less.
Yes, we do. We start out, we raise the sheep, and we have lambs. They grow. They go to market. We shear the wool. We do everything. And then we even, because we have a woolen mill, we process the fiber into quilt bats or roving for hand spinners.
Okay, so do you just for your own farm, this woolen mill? Or do you?
No. We do this for the general public. Anyone who wants to send fiber to us, we will process it for them.
All right. Well, we'll talk some more about that, but let me turn to Ray for a minute. Ray's been a guest a number of times, but talk a little bit about AZ Farm.
Well, AZ Farm, we're still there. We're going, and it's been a good year in many ways. Once in a while, Mother Nature hasn't cooperated as far as moisture, but we're still going, and the lambs look very good. The wool also looks very good. I think our fleeces, the wool from the sheep, this year is going to be very clean. Ours has been clean in the past, and we have done good in competition, limited competition.
I mean, sure.
We still have a lot of time. But it looks really good, and it's the feel is really fantastic also.
I think it really helps when the sheep are rained upon. That really helps to keep the wool nice and clean and shiny, and it's just wonderful to see it.
I agree, Carol. We try and provide some shade, artificial shade, like the hay wagons,
mm-hmm.
and they like to lay underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So the lambs are really not as clean as the ewes.
Right. They tend to rub on those things.
Right. Anything like that.
Yep.
Except the electric fence. But the wool that we will be selling and showing and so forth is from the ewes. We don't shear the lambs because they're young, and it's just not, it doesn't have the growth, the length.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit, and we'll get Carol and Racine, hold on there. We'll get to you in just a minute, but I wanted to sort of give us an opening to talk about the Sheep and Wool Festival, the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. That got started...
Well, actually, the format that we are using now, 10 years ago, this is our 10th anniversary, and there were educational programs and so forth before, but it has not been as successful as it has been this last 10 years. It's been growing every year. We've expanded again, every year on something, or added more, or expanded on the different aspects of it. And this year, we anticipate about 7,000 people there, which will be the greatest attendance also.
So lots of educational.
Oh, a lot of educational. And you don't have to be a real dyed-in-wool sheep person to come, because there is variety of things offered. Education. And that's one of the main functions. But variety as far as the sheep and wool, and then also the other activities that are there, and something else that gets to be a part of the sheep industry, and that is the dog trials as far as herding.
Oh, yeah, those are a lot of fun.
Very good. It is. It is. You don't really have to have a real desire to get involved with sheep, but it is interesting to watch those dogs.
Yeah.
So come on out and see that.
Yeah, that's really important. I think that about 10 years ago, the festival began, and so we decided as an organization, the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Co-op, that we needed to reach out to the public so that they could become aware of the sheep industry and what sheep have to offer. And so the festival was the outgrowth of that. So we do educational programs for sheep producers, for fiber artists.
There's all those who want to be.
That's right, those who want to be, and everyone in between. If you have absolutely no interest in sheep and wool, you can still go and have an absolutely wonderful time.
We'll talk some more about that, but I want to give Carol a chance. By the way, you can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. This is a different Carol, Carolyn Racine, who has a question or comment. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you, Larry?
Great, thanks for calling.
Sure, absolutely. My name's Carol Cianelli, and my husband, Jamie Cheatham, and I are both needle felting artists. And we previously had a shop at the Sheep and Wool Festival. We love it there. We come every year still and buy tons of wool for our shop that we have at the Bristol Renaissance Fair. We sell beautiful little needle felting sculptures of animals and dolls that we make, and we've been out there for 7 years selling our wares. And we miss being there selling things at the Sheep and Wool Festival, but we do still come and buy lots of wool there. We love it. It is such a fun time. And I agree that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're into sheep and lamb, you can still have a great time there. It's a lot of fun. And we enjoy so much coming there and seeing all the different types of wool that we can buy for, you know, for our purposes, because we love needle felting.
And so art can be a big part of this whole thing.
Yes, definitely so, in many different ways.
And Carol, what was the name of your outfit again?
Our company is called The Wayfarer's Whimsy, and as I said, we make needle-felted dolls and toys, and I don't know if you know what that is, Larry. Needle-felting is using a special little barbed needle, and you take unspun sheep's wool, so before you spin the wool into yarn,
mm-hmm.
You take the wool and you poke it with this little barbed needle, and it binds the fiber. It becomes very dense, and you can sculpt the wool into shapes, and they look like beautiful little creatures. I called my husband and I said, email Larry a picture of one of our dolls. So I think you should be getting one. But we also have a website. It's wayfarerswhimsy.com.
Oh.
So you should be able to see some of them. They're pretty special.
Why don't you post one on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show?
Have them post
one today so people can take a look.
I will. I'll do that. And the Ren Fair is open for one more weekend on Labor Day, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So if people want to come out, it's a great weekend of fun just before they go to the Sheep and Wool Festival.
Okay.
There you go. Carol, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, she's excited about wool.
And that's a darn good thing. It's worth being excited about.
Now, have you ever done that sort of work, Carol?
You know, I have needle felted a little bit. It's not something that really struck me.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to knit and weave instead.
Yeah. And what kinds of things do you weave?
Blankets and rugs, scarves. I really have to confess that I'm only a wannabe weaver. I know how to do it. I have very little time to do it. So someday when I'm retired, that will be my dream job.
Well, somebody was wondering, how does wool go from being on a sheep to becoming an article of clothing?
Oh, it's an amazing process. It's possible to go to Ray's Farm in the spring.
When
we shear, and see the sheep being shorn. And there are people that are specially trained who shear the sheep. And it's an amazing process to see. They are so good that they can take about 3 minutes to shear a sheep. It's in and out, zip, zip, and the sheep is so happy when that wool is gone. The first thing they do is run over to a post and start scratching a spot that they haven't been able to get to for months. After the wool comes off the sheep, it's skirted, which means that all the tags and the hay, debris, poopy stuff is removed. Oh, can I say that on
the
radio?
Yeah, sure you can.
So that's all removed, because if you don't want it in your garment, why would you keep it
right.
in the wool? So the fiber is then washed, and we use very, very hot water. Our water is about 185 degrees, 160 to 185. 85
Ouch.
Is the best. With Dawn dishwashing soap, and we soak it, and the grease is cut because of the Dawn dishwashing soap. You can use other means, like other soaps, but, you know, Dawn works the best. So after that, it's dried and put into the carding machine, and then it's spun.
And then it's spun.
And then you can knit it or weave it, and you're all set.
And there it is from start to finish.
Yes, your five-minute tutorial.
There are so many things that can be done with wool. And it's just going through and seeing the different things. Or Carol can expand as far as the classes that are offered. That there's so many things there. If you'd like to do anything with your hands at all, the wool does have a good possibility. Carol mentioned the shearing. We will have shearing demonstrations at the Sheep and Wool Festival.
Oh, and this guy is so good to watch.
He is.
He's just incredible.
And he's very good at answering questions also.
Yes. He was trained in New Zealand.
Oh, so he's got a lot of practice there.
Yes, he has a lot of practice.
Well, there, yeah, in New Zealand, obviously, that's sort of the, would you consider that kind of the mecca of sheep and wool in the world, or?
Australia would be
Australia would
Those
be right
be the
there.
Top two.
Yep.
Yeah, we've kind of held our own, haven't we, here in the U.S. or at least in Wisconsin?
But we are getting other countries that are becoming more interested in lamb and also wool. China, as an example.
Oh, China's buying up all the wool on the market.
Yes.
Oh, they are.
Yes. It's very hard to commercially get wool because China is buying it all.
So they've got some plans.
They do.
Right. And then also,
they're probably not telling us what they are.
I'm sure that's true.
No, I don't really read anything as far as what they're doing. But it is a fact that they are one of the big buyers of lamb and wool.
Well, and here in the state, I think you were telling me you think there's more interest now than there has been, Ray.
Yes, I think so. And here in the state, we haven't really seen the numbers, the population of sheep go up that much. But it is significant, and there is a lot of interest.
Well, I know you got a lot of people interested in the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival coming
up. Yes, we anticipate 7,000-plus people there. And also, where we do have figures, that's not as large as that, but the Sheep Production 101, an introductory series of classes, one whole day for people who want to get into the sheep industry, there our enrollment is bigger every year. This year it's the largest it has ever been.
Ray Antonovich, owner of AZ Farms in Oregon, Wisconsin, and Carol Wagner. Carol owns and runs Hidden Valley Farm and Woolen Mill and raises sheep. I'm Larry Mueller, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking sheep and wool today and the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival with our two guests, Ray Antonovich and Carol Wagner. Thank you so much for listening in. Question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and you can post there. Love to hear from you. Rod in Weyerhaeuser has a comment or question. Let's go there. Hi, Rod.
Yeah, I don't know much about sheep. I just I wanted to comment how amazing it is, because in the wintertime, you know, I worked in the woods quite a bit and stuff. You'd like to have chaps or something because it's not durable. But you could get wet on these drizzly winter days, and it seems like it dries out. And also, I drove truck, and I was down in Georgia and Alabama, and I'm acclimated to this. I like cold weather, you know. And I tell you, I couldn't sleep. My bunk in my truck and the company I drove for had a fuel incentive, you know, less idling, less fuel burnt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd get by and stretch out. And I put that cotton sheet down there, and you know what? You couldn't sleep. It'd stick to you.
Yeah.
And I said, what do I got to lose? So I had a couple of them. I had one from my uncle, a Navy blanket, and then I bought at the Army surplus wool. And I laid that down. And of course, no, I don't think I'm allergic to wool, because I laid right on that, and you didn't sweat, it didn't pick up moisture, it didn't stick to you. So
you're a big wool fan.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it, because it, I don't know what it does, it wicks the moisture away, you know, so good. But my dad had a story too. He's 88, he's lived here all his life up in the northern part of the state, and he said he knew some people, they moved here in Iowa in the drought dust bowl years, and they put them in the woods, and they fenced it off, you know, so they'd have something to eat, you know. And he said that damn coyotes just about
wiped them out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know what they? How do you deal with that? Thanks for calling, by the way, Rod. How do you deal with coyotes now? And you, both of you have farms.
Yeah,
and
we do. We use llamas as guard animals. We have three llamas, and we keep each llama with one specific group of sheep. One is with our rams, one is with our ewes, and another is with our lambs. And so far, they've done a pretty darn good job. I know people that use dogs. Ray, do you have dogs?
No, we don't use any, but we would probably get into them if we did need them.
Well, you know, we have thought about dogs, and they're big dogs that have been trained and bred throughout the years to guard sheep. But we have too many people that walk past our house with their own dogs on a leash, so we don't want to create problems in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we don't have one of those.
Yes, I think one thing that has really helped us in our situation, because coyotes are all around.
Yes.
I've seen coyotes in Madison.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And we use a fair amount of electric fencing. Keep our sheep in the pastures. And
hopefully the coyotes out.
Yes.
Yeah, that does seem to make a difference.
Right.
Well, thanks again, Rod. Roy, in Bayfield, we turn to you next. Hi, Roy.
Hi, how are you? We're just coming down from Bayfield Peninsula, heading back home to Appleton, but I'm an owner of like 5 wool shirts. My wife and I have been up in Scotland to the mills and both purchased wool sweaters up there. I use wool a lot. I'm a ski instructor, and I use a wicking undershirt and then wear my wool, and it is the most fantastic wicking material. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the properties of wool as a wicking material and to maintain warmth. And I also have gotten wool wet, as your previous caller has called, and it dries out a lot faster than a down jacket. I'll take my off the air.
All right. Thank you for calling. And Carol, we'll turn to you first here.
Well, there's just something about wool, and I think that because it's a natural fiber, that the makeup of it allows it to breathe, and that allows absorption of moisture. It definitely keeps you warm in the winter and cool in the summer, but it's the makeup of the fiber itself that allows that. You know, my mother-in-law made quilts, and she always put polyester batting into the quilts because that was new and it was better than wool. my family always used wool, and you know, the last time I used a polyester bat, I was not warm.
Yeah.
So the wool is definitely better. And it's just, there's the makeup of the fiber itself is what allows for the wicking. It's a miracle fiber.
I remember Catherine Friend talking about it on the show. She wrote the book Sheepish, 2 Women, 50 Sheep, and Enough Wool to Save the Planet. And she talked about having some wool socks that she purposely war, I forget how many days in a row, 10 days or something like that in a row, and her feet didn't smell, nor did the socks. That was amazing.
It so, is amazing.
she's even making woolen wool underwear, the you know sort of pants, panty mm-hmm. type things, and loves them. So you can do it. Rich in Cumberland will turn to you next. Hi, Rich.
Hi. I've got a couple of questions, I guess. The first one is I'm curious about the sustainability of sheep compared to other livestock.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I've always thought that they're probably a little more efficient eaters and you get more than one product out of them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling. And Ray, let's turn to you for that.
Yes, I think you mentioned two things right there. More than one product. You got the wool and the meat, and they're more efficient. We cannot really look at the sheep as a scavenger, and too many people try and do that,
mm-hmm.
and that just doesn't work. They do need some quality feed, and grass-fed is a big factor. And it is a healthier mm-hmm. food, a healthier meat than, say, a lot of grain feeding when it comes to the sheep.
Well, beef marbles.
Yes.
And gets fat in the muscle, where lamb does not do that.
Right.
So if there's fat on it, you can remove that with no difficulty. So that is a benefit of the
right.
lamb. But also I was thinking that because a sheep is a smaller animal than a beef.
There's not as much to maintain.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right there. And
so for sustainability, it's
the sheep really ranks up there very high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again, Rich, for calling. You can join in too at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And a caller in La Crosse who has some bags of raw wool right off the sheep that have been sitting for a few years. Is there a shelf life? Or are they still good to use? Now, this is raw wool, and I suppose it might depend a little on how it was stored, possibly, Carol?
Raw wool has an unlimited shelf life as long as moths don't get into it. So if it's just sitting out in the barn, perhaps it will become infested with moths. That's a problem. Otherwise, it shouldn't be a problem to wash it and use it. It's the moth issue that's the problem. So,
okay. So if you no moths, good to go.
You bet.
Sounds like it. And a caller wondered if there will be raw wool for sale at the festival. It sounds like there will be.
Yes, there is.
There will be.
We have a fleece competition where producers of fiber submit their fleeces to be judged by someone who has been trained in judging sheep and judging fiber. And it seems to me that last year there were well over 100 fleeces that were entered in the contest. So it's a great place to go. There is the commercial aspect of it for sheep that the breeds that have not been jacketed, and then there's the hand spinner division as well. And Ray just pointed out to me that last year there were 131 fleeces that
wow.
were shown.
That is the largest show in the state as far as fleeces.
Yes.
And we have some terrific fleeces coming in there.
And then you're going to be able to buy those fleeces?
Yes.
Yes. There's a kind of a silent auction that will be set later Saturday afternoon after the judging that you can buy them, and anything that would be left would be generally available on Sunday. The people who bring in their fleeces, they don't have to sell it or anything.
They want to keep it. They
or
can
if
keep it.
They have another market that they're doing or mm-hmm. that they have, then that is possible. We have an example in our situation where one gal from the state here has had at least three fleeces from this one sheep that we have exhibit every year. And this year she'll probably be there again for this fleece.
Yes, people do that. If they like a fleece from a specific sheep, they will ask for it again the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So they become friends with the wool from that particular sheep.
Yeah, there is a difference in this wool. I mean...
Well, the Merino is...
Is very fine.
Very fine. Very popular now.
Yes. And
Merino is like the Cadillac of the sheep world.
The fiber world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And all the wool is not the same. Merino is the finest.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other, give me some examples of types of workshops, or a few, and I know we can go to, if you go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, we've linked to the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival, so you can go there if you have access to a computer and do that. And as I said, it's just probably the simplest, just go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you'll get a direct link to it. Otherwise, the URL is fairly long. But what are some of the, Carol, maybe you can talk about a few.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The fiber arts area is quite a large area. It covers knitting, spinning, weaving, on and on. And so we have 68 classes that we are offering. approximately 40 of them are already closed at this point, but there still are spaces available if people are interested in taking classes. If you really are interested and want to look at the class schedules and what's available, and want to bypass Larry, I'm sorry, Larry.
No, that's all right.
You can go to WisconsinSheepAndWoolFestival.com, and there will be a list of the classes that are offered at that point. There's a variety of spinning classes. When we think about spinning, we normally just think about one type of spinning, but there are all sorts of spinning. So there's spinning classes, knitting classes that offer specific types of and techniques of knitting, weaving. We have a broom maker this year, which is the first time that we've ever had a broom maker. And the class has been received very well. It's full already. So we're doing soap making with sheep milk and basket weaving. So there's just a huge variety of things that can be done. There are a number of dye workshops. We're using natural dyes and chemical dyes. So
lots to see there.
There's lots for everybody.
And, of course, a lot on the actual raising of sheep as well from Rayside. And I've not been specific about the dates here, so let's get back to that for a minute, and the dates and times. So I know September 10th is Saturday, so the September 9th?
September 9th is open at 10 o'clock. The commercial vendors do come in, and we have 137 vendors from all over the country, really, from Maine to California, and a lot of small businesses in Wisconsin. But Friday is the Sheep Production 101.
Mm-hmm.
We really
zero
in on that. And then with the additional lectures on Saturday and Sunday, and something Carol mentioned, the milk, something that we get from there is the sheep milk cheese. This is big. We will have samples for that on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I believe the Wisconsin Dairy Sheep Breeders will be there.
And we will also have a chef preparing lamb on Sunday. So come on in and get a good snack.
Oh, and I think he gives out samples as well as the recipes.
And that is grass-fed lamb that he'll be using.
So that's the 9th, 10th, and 11th of September. So it's coming up pretty quick.
There's a lot there.
Brad in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
Great. So I have two questions. Well, first of all, I could tell you that I'm one of those that is an avid fan of wool. I would say that sometimes we take it for granted because it's been around so long. But if somebody were to invent a fabric today that can do all the things that wool does, we would declare it a wonder fabric. So I have two questions. You mentioned merino wool before, and I was wondering whether one of the great attributes there is that it's nice and smooth, and you can wear it against the skin, and that it, you know, wicks and keeps you warm while you're wet and all that sort of stuff. So is there a domestically derived wool that has those attributes? That's my first question. And my second question is, I'm wondering if the guests can give us their insights as the best way to protect wool from moths. And I'll go ahead and listen up just on the radio.
All right, thank you.
As far as there being a domestic sheep that has the same attributes as merino, there are people here in the United States that raise merinos. There are not a huge number of them, but there are those people that do it. Mm-hmm. So it is possible to get domestic merino. And it really is a beautiful fiber. The second question
had to do with moths.
With moths. I store my wool in plastic bags in a cool, dry place. And if you have a cedar chest, that works well. And you can get little sachets that are scented, that are moth-resistant thing or moth-proof things. Mm-hmm. Lavender, the plant lavender, is very good for moth resistance, as is tansy. And tansy can just be found growing along the side of the road. But plastic bags that are closed in a cool, dry place, out of the sun, mm-hmm. Works just fine.
And we have, by the way, Joy in Fitchburg would like a map or guide to all the farmers that sell raw wool. Is there any, is that available anywhere?
I don't have a composited list, but there are a lot of people in the area that do sell wool. We sell wool, as an example, and do participate in the fleece contest.
Right, as do we. My suggestion would be to go to the festival and walk around and find people that that are selling fleeces in their booths. There will be a number of them that do that. And so then you can see what the wool looks like.
Feels like?
Yes, because the wool that I produce is very different than the wool that Ray produces. They can make a comparison of the types of fiber and just see what it looks like.
And we've been talking about the dates and failed to mention that it's at the Jefferson County, or the Jefferson Fair Park in Jefferson, Wisconsin, so here
Correct.
In southern Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's pretty easy to find.
But there would be a variety available at the festival.
Okay.
And there will be one exhibit, one exhibit piece, a display of a different wool. Mm-hmm. One of our sheep producers has made this, and it's been a tremendous aid as far as teaching the people about the difference as far as the thinness of fiber and the length. All wool is not the same length, and that can make a big difference on what you want to do it.
So that'd be a place to stop first,
right?
Before you went around and looked at the other.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Judith in Dubuque, Iowa. On to you now. Hi, Judith.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a substitute teacher, and often the classrooms are very cold, or to me they seem very cold. And boy, I use wool all the time, from socks to slacks to skirts to sweaters, and there.
You are a wise woman.
I just love it. That way I'm comfortable, and everybody else can, you know, be cool if they want to, but I'd rather be warm. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for calling. Oh, that's a good call. Thank you, Judith. Well, they're all good calls, actually. We've had some great questions today. Gary in Kenosha, let's go to you next. Hi, Gary.
Hello. Just wondering if there is any noxious weed control programs going on in Wisconsin as far as the sheep helping with noxious weeds. I know out west, I think they do a lot of, there's a noxious weed called spurge that the sheep will seek out and eat it almost exclusively once they get accustomed to it. And then if you can make a comment about sheep scrapie and if that's a problem anymore, and then I'll hang up.
All right. Thank you for calling. There are sheep. I know some out west, at least in California, there are some shepherds who actually take their sheep around to various places where there are noxious weeds. And actually, the state of California has actually used flocks of sheep in areas, if I'm not mistaken, Ray.
Yes, sheep and goats are used that way at times, and they work good. We do need to be aware of obnoxious weeds that can cause us problems, and you should look at this new land, become familiar with what are potential problems, and go from there and try and eliminate those. There are also some that are pain as far as the wool, burdocks, as an example.
Oh, yeah, that'd be miserable.
But I don't believe that there is any organization here in the state that rents out sheep for that purpose.
No.
If you have the problem and have neighbors that raise sheep, you might want to ask them if you can borrow their sheep. Because sheep producers are always looking for pasture.
Right. So, and there are situations where goats will do a better job than a sheep. I hate to...
Yeah, I think goats can be a little less picky than sheep.
Right.
And he was wondering about scrapie as well, a disease issue.
Well, here in the state we have, and actually nationally, there is a voluntary scrapie program. And if you are enrolled in this program... there's a USDA vet that comes to your farm every year, and you have to account for every sheep that you have, and they read all the year tags, and there's a special scrapie tag. And if someone has died, you need to tell why they died, and, you know, did they go to market, or did they die because of lambing issues, pneumonia, what was the cause of their death? And that way they're trying to track all the animals in the state to see if there is a problem.
So there you go. And it sounds like that's a good program. And I'm sure that people are going to enjoy the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. Again, it's September 9th through the 11th at the Jefferson Fair Park in Jefferson, Wisconsin. Lots of people going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Opens at 10 o'clock.
Actually, the lectures start at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, okay.
The classes start at 9 o'clock as well.
Well, thank you both so much. And again, you can go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, get a direct link to the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. Just click on it, and it'll take you right there, and you can look at all the various classes and see what's all in store for you. And again, Carol and Ray, thank you so much.
Thanks. Been fun.
A lot of fun to have you with us. Ray Antonovich, owner of AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin, where they raise sheep, chickens, and rabbits. And Carol Wagner, who owns and runs Hidden Valley Farm with her husband, Hidden Valley Farm and Woolen Mill, and raises sheep as well. Fun to have them with us today. And the event sounds like a great event. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Hurricane Irene, the Texas drought, Wisconsin tornadoes. Our weather guys are always full of good cheer when they come by to talk about all these varieties of things. Oh, man. Steve Ackerman, John Martin, next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.